That is by far my favorite song ever, and I've heard it done by many people, but I don't believe there's anybody this side of heaven that does it better than you two. I really don't. I really don't. Last night I was cutting grass and I was singing. I had Pandora on, singing to Building 429 music. Y'all heard of Building 429? Very good. And I happened to turn, and I was going up toward the road, and I saw this car coming, and usually people kind of fly up through North Oak Grove Road. And I didn't recognize the car, and it seemed to be almost in slow motion. And I couldn't see who was driving, and there was a little girl in the back seat, and her window was down. And she was looking straight out at me. And it was just kind of a surreal moment where our eyes connected and time almost stopped, and I just saw her. Curly brown hair, but it was her eyes. And I remember looking at her and said, "I don't know you." And she just kept looking at me, and in my mind I said, "I want to do what I can to make this world a better place for you." And right when that thought came out of my mind, she waved. And I waved back. And I say that because that's my dream. And ever since I came to know Christ and His love came into me 20-something years ago, I've wanted to do something great for Him, because He did so much great for me. And I felt like He gave me this big, big dream 16 years ago. And I thought, well, that's kind of a big dream, but I live in a small town. But I still wanted to make a difference, just like you guys do. You guys want to make a difference. Nobody woke up this morning and said, "I do not want my life to count." I don't believe that. I believe you wanted to make a difference. And I wanted to share with you some ways that, and some lessons that I've learned. Whether you're starting a business, or whether you're in the workplace, or whether you're kind of like me, you're starting a whole new life in a retirement kind of thing. But some things that I learned by starting North Point, they can go along with whether we're building a business or community or anything, however you need to use them. But I want to start with what I told that little girl last night, kind of mind to mind. Step number one is that I want to make a difference. You know, 16 years ago, I wanted to make a difference. I did then, and in the mid-90s, and I think I do now more than ever. I want to make another difference. I'm very passionate about that. You know, in 98, I was willing to work hard, and I really wanted to make a difference. And I'm still there. This dream is still birthing. We're in the middle of a dream about doing something with the men here in North Point, because that's where it started with me. And I discovered along this journey that there were some highs and lows. That at times my morale was high, and at times it was low. I even defined the low morale in your outline. There was times when my morale was low that it was like there was nothing that I could do. You know, I just felt like there's nothing that I can do. And every one of us have been here, right? Where we kind of feel hopeless and helpless. And you ever felt like you just can't do anything about that? That's when your morale is low. Now, and for the biggest part, because I'm a glass half full guy, my morale was high. That there's something that I can do. That I can make a difference. Now, what I discovered in this journey was that you and I, we can make a difference, a great difference, if we move to another level. When this dream was first given to me, I believe by the Lord, I knew that the reality was that making a greater difference happens when I go from me to we. From me to we. It has to go outside of me. This was the game changer. You know, when I included others in my dream, in my journey. And so I decided that you can't do this alone, Jim. You've been teaching Sunday school for 8 years, and you do everything. From lead to prayer, lead to song, you ought to have heard me sing then. And to bring in the cookies. And I never got over 8 people. And I could do that part all by myself. But it just wasn't good enough. I wanted to make a difference. So I had to move on to step 2, which was I had to make a difference. I want to make a difference with people who want to make a difference. And everything changed when I said, I want to make a difference with people who want to make a difference. Things began to happen. You know, and teamwork makes the dream work. You know, a lot of the stuff that I'm going to be telling you today came from a book that I read from John Maxwell. I can't think of the name of it. But he wrote several laws and principles, he called them. And one of the law of significance, I'll never forget it. It said, one is too small a number to achieve greatness. One is too small a number to achieve greatness. By myself, I can't really do something major. By myself, I can't really do something significant. But with others, I can. And when I began to understand this, I wanted to bring others around me. I needed help. So I went to Paxton, Hamby, and I went to David Holcomb, and I told them of my dream. And they wanted to make a difference too. We needed each other. We began to do certain things, and I took some surveys around town, and we started a church in October of 98. Somewhere around December, January, we had been praying. What we found out was the people that didn't go to church, the main radio station that they listened to around here was South 107, which told us that people listened to country music. And we said, you know, we've been going for church for a while now, 3 or 4 months, and doing it. And we said, we're still looking for that country singer that God's going to send us. And I'll never forget the day. We'd already moved into the high school, which is being torn down now. So there's some memories I've lost there too. We used to meet there, if you didn't know, for 3.5 years at the high school. But anyway, you know, anybody's been in there, you know, those steep stairs? Like I say, we'd been to church 3 or 4 months, and we're praying for a country music singer to come lead us. because that's what people listen to in Adairsville. And we were willing to share that dream with somebody that could come. But I looked up, and I'll never forget, I saw a set of bird legs coming down the steps, and flip-flops. I said, hey, and I saw him looking at the sound equipment, which we didn't have much, did we? We were poor, and we didn't know what we were doing. I said, how you doing? I said, you know something about that? He said, a little bit. And he introduced himself. His name was Lee Castro. And I said, what do you do? And we got to know each other, got to talk about each other. He said, I've been playing country music. I've been playing out in the bars in Texas for the last 15 years. I said, country music? Yeah, a bar in Texas is bound to play country music. He said, yeah. So we got to know each other. I said, and I told him, I said, I think you're the one we're looking for. He says, yeah, but one thing though, I'm not going to take any money. You're with us, brother. You're the man. You're who we're looking for. But I say all that to say significance is I need people to achieve greatness. Then you have to create an inner circle that says I need the right people. I need the right people to achieve greatness. You need to surround yourselves with the right people. If we're going to make a difference in the business community, if we're going to make a difference in the job market, in the schools, we got to do it together. We got to do it together. Not going to do it alone. Not greatness. We got to, that inner circle is important, because John Maxwell also says this: most people can trace their failures and successes to the relationships in their lives. Let me say that again. That was one of my posts this week. Most people can trace their failures and successes to the relationships in their lives. In our greatest days, in our best of times, we can see some of the folks around us that helped us to get there. But also in the worst of times that we've ever experienced, we can also see the people around us that help make them the worst of times. Our inner circle may have been the wrong people. Got to be careful who that inner circle is. So I want to, and that is a kind of a segue into, I want to look at what the Bible says about partnerships. And teamwork, especially when the partnerships are right, so that we can be the salt and light in the community here, the business community, the work community, the school community, everywhere. The very first thing I want to look at is partnership. And by the way, I want to tell y'all, this is the last one. I know I told y'all 2 weeks. I'm going to try to, rip this out today so we can move on. And hey, stop talking about work. Y'all can come back now. Anyway. Partnership unifies for strength. The greatest way that you can be stronger is being around the right people. Being around the right people. Exodus 17 says this: and Moses and Aaron and Hur went to the top of the hill. It turned out that whenever Moses raised his hands, Israel was winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, Amalek was winning. But Moses' hands got tired. So they got a stone and they set it under him. He sat on it, and Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on each side. So his hands remained steady until the sun went down. Joshua defeated Amalek and its army in battle. Now, for a while, it was just, Moses' two hands. He was doing well. He was holding his hands up in the air. You may be head of your company now, and your company's doing good, and you got your hands up in the air. And Moses was like, wow, you know, while I got my hands in the air, you know, we're doing good. We're defeating the Amalekites. I always thought that, I wonder if I could be like Moses, you know, and or if I was Moses, would I do this just to see what was going on? But, you know, he didn't want his people to get killed on that, but I was sitting there thinking. But anyway, but Moses was human. And his hands got tired. And they would fall. And as soon as he would fall, the Amalekites would be defeating his people. And the reason being is his people would look up and see him with his hands raised high, and it would encourage them. It'd give them hope. And so Hur and Aaron saw this. And they said, let us help you. You can't do it alone. You may be at a place in your company, at your work, but I can't do it alone. You need to find you an Aaron and a Hur to hold your arms up. And so they got a rock, they set him on it, and now instead of two hands, they got six hands that they're holding up. Can you imagine the encouragement as the soldiers looked up and there's three men standing up? Two people helping them. And they fought and they won. Guys, when you got the right people around you, it makes you stronger. It makes you stronger, not weaker. I talked about this one day, and I asked you folks I asked North Point to pray for me years ago, and you guys got me up a list of who was praying for me. And every once in a while, I still get out that list. I don't know if you still are praying for me or not, but I pretend that you do. And you're holding up my hands. You know, on Mondays was my weakest day. Mondays is the day I feel like quitting, and I don't want to be your pastor anymore. And I look at it lots of Mondays, and I got this long list of people that are praying for me. And then every day there's people praying for me, and I appreciate that. And then some people pray for me on Sunday morning. Sunday morning's kind of tough too. I don't know why it's that the old devil attacks me on Sunday morning. But anyway, let's get off of that. Number two, partnership intensifies commitment to one another. Now once you've got the right partner, you know, this intensity is what I'm talking about, like Ruth. You remember Naomi told her that it'd be better if you just went back. It'd be better if you just went back to your homeland. And Ruth looked at her and said this at the bottom of your page. Not even death itself is going to come between us. She said, I'm staying with you my whole life. I'm staying with you a whole life. I don't know if you know this or not. We only have myself and three elders at North Point Church, and I'm sure one of these days we'll add another one. But did you know that the elder of North Point, if you're appointed an elder of North Point Church, it's a lifetime commitment. You don't get out of it. If you try to get out of it, we'll talk you back into it. But it is actually a lifetime commitment because we believe it's intense. It's intense. We believe it's a Naomi and Ruth kind of intense commitment. Another thing about the right partnership is it purifies our motives. A good example of this comes from Jonathan. He was the son of Saul, you know, and in this time Saul was the king, but the people had come to kind of like David. David was kind of getting popular. He defeated Goliath, you know, the arch enemy of the Jewish people. And you know, he cut his head off and stuff, and Jonathan knew that the hand of God was on David, and that David would be the next king, even though Jonathan was next in line. But Jonathan and David were great friends, or great partners, and instead of being jealous, he said to David, let me help you. He even gave him his rights that should have been his, and he gave them to David because he knew that David was the anointed one. But his dad was jealous. Saul was jealous. And look what he said to him at the top of your outline. King Saul said to Jonathan, "For as long as the son of Jesse, David, is walking around free on this earth, your future in this kingdom is at risk." He basically said, "You got to quit helping David." But Jonathan knew that David was the one that was anointed. So he wanted to serve him. And guys, a good partnership, it purifies you when you realize this. Serving somebody purifies your motives. I'm compiling a list right now. I want a list of 10 men and women that I want to serve, that I feel are better speakers, are better leaders than myself. And I want to serve them. I want to support them because I want my heart to be pure. Next one is partnership solidifies new alliances. The right partner, it brings people together. I mean, it's the story of Nehemiah, who came back to Jerusalem and the city was in ruins. And this is what he said in Nehemiah 2. It says, "Then I gave them my report." Face it, we're in a bad way here. Jerusalem is a wreck. Its gates are burned up. Come, let's build the wall of Jerusalem and not live with this disgrace any longer. I told them how God was supporting me and how the king was backing me up. They said, "We're with you. Let's get started." They rolled up their sleeves, ready for the good work. You know, I'll never forget the morning I'd been running from building North Point for a long time. I didn't want to do it. I've told y'all before, I was scared to death. I was scared to fail. I was scared that people would laugh at me. And just totally scared. And all of a sudden, I wake up and right beside the coffee pot, here's this note from Angie that says, "I was reading my Bible late last night. I don't know why, but the Holy Spirit told me to tell you to read this verse." Never had done that before in our entire marriage. Well, she left me notes before, but not read a verse. Everybody's had notes before. Most of them were love notes. Some of them weren't, not so good. Anyway, this is a good note. I'm chasing rabbits here. But I read the note. I mean, I read the verse. First words of the verse: "Do not fear. Go and build the house of the Lord your God." Man, I was scared to death. That was the night I couldn't sleep, couldn't turn. I was scared, crying. I didn't want to tell her that because, you know, I'm a man. I didn't want to be a wimp in front of her. So I called Paxton, I called David. I said, "It's time. It's time we build." And I read them that verse, and both of them said, "Let's go. Let's get started. God has spoken." Well, then we move to number 5. Partnership multiplies our effectiveness. Now, when we come together biblically, we unify our hearts and we become a team if our heart is one mind. Kind of what we did with Lee, you know, when he came. He just expanded our team. He multiplied our effectiveness. And Leviticus tells us that in 26:8. "And 5 of you will chase 100. And 100 of you will chase 10,000 and do away with them." You know, us three and our families, we could chase a few people. But when God sent this old boy from the bars in Texas, then we could chase thousands. It was multiplied. Our effectiveness was multiplied. The odds dramatically changed. Number 6, partnership testifies of God's love and mission. I love this one. Jesus is about to leave and go with the Father in heaven, and he tells them this in John 17. This is something that we're not practicing right now. Jesus is praying. The goal is for all of them to become one heart. He's talking to God. The goal is for all of them to become one heart and mind, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, so that they might be one heart and mind with us. Then the world might believe that you, in fact, sent me. When the world sees the love that we have for one another, then they'll understand that God sent him for us. Guys, I asked the 9 o'clock service, and I'm going to ask you too. Lots of times churches don't play well together. I'm asking you, don't say nothing bad about another church. Don't say nothing bad. They may say something bad about us. Our concern is the lost. If folks are in a church, that's fantastic. They're not our target. Our target is the folks that don't have a church. Our target is the folks that are looking for a church. Our target is the folks that are lost, because lost implies value. Don't you say nothing about another church, because those lost, when they see churches argue, does that glorify Jesus Christ? We don't need to be a part of that. We don't need to be a part of that at all. I want them to understand about how Jesus is the Son of God, and he came here to reconcile them to the Father. So I want to make a difference. I did then and I do now. With people who want to make a difference. And number three, by doing something that makes a difference. We're talking about being the salt and light in our business, our community, our office, our plant, our workplaces. Remember, we said 40% of life is spent at the workplace. I want us to be touching people outside of North Point. You know, look what Billy Graham said. I love what he said a few years ago. It says, I believe one of the next great moves of God is going to be through believers in the workplace. I agree. I believe the greatest channel of the gospel of Jesus Christ is the marketplace. You ain't got to preach it. You ain't got to hit people in the head with a big old mule choking Bible. You just try to walk as best as you can along with the teachings of Jesus Christ, and I guarantee you the lost people are going to ask you, what makes you different? You know? You ain't got to be judgmental. You just love. I teach Sarah and Luke, love wins every time. Every time, love wins. I guarantee you people are going to ask you, what makes you different? When you start considering others valuable. Because I'm going to tell you something. Lost people are worth finding. They're worth finding. God is in every simple deed that we do. Whether it's cutting grass, or putting a stent in the heart. He's in every simple deed, and he's interested in every one of them, because it's not what someone does that determines whether their job is sacred or secular. It's why he or she does it. It's why you do it. Ministry is in the marketplace. It's not just here on Sundays. Take the good news with you. Everybody that I've baptized today, all four people were not saved here. All four people were saved at home. Well, three were saved at home and one in a car. Take the gospel of Jesus Christ with you. Let your face reflect the gospel of Jesus Christ. I tell you now, I've seen some faces that are Christians that I'm not sure I want to know their God. They're all sour. Y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you? Say sire. Who wants to follow a sire God? Gosh. I don't. How you spell sire? But I want to, people going to want to follow God when they see somebody that they see them loving people unconditionally. When they see them value people unconditionally. You know, let the Holy Spirit work through you. Number four, also at a time when it makes a difference. You know when the time is? The time is now. John Wooden, legendary basketball coach, said, when opportunity comes, it's too late to prepare. Today matters. So how many of you guys really want to make a difference? We're winding up here. How many of you guys want to make a difference? I think you do. I think you do. I think you really want to make a difference. And so today matters. You know, and it's real simple. I wrote it in your outline here. The secret of your success is found in your daily agenda. The secret of your success is found in your daily agenda. What I mean by that is today matters. Today matters. By what we do daily. Jesus Christ was constantly lifting people up because he valued people. John Maxwell also had an elevator principle, he called it, where it says this: some people lift you up and some people let you down. We all got people that let us down in our life, don't we? Do we? We do. As a matter of fact, when they walk in the room, they kind of like zap the life right out of you. And I got one or two, and I just, a lot of times I say, Jesus, take me home now. Wait a minute, Jesus, take them home now. And Jesus, just in case, don't take us together, all right? So those are the kind of conversations I'm having when this person walks in the room with the Lord. In case y'all, if my eyes glaze over, that's what I'm asking you to do. Take them home. Take them home now. There's, yeah, I used to say, take me home. And I thought, no, I don't want to do that. Take them. A lady, I love what she said. I don't remember who it was, but she said, there are two kinds of people in this world. The people who lift and the people who lean. The people who lift and the people who lean. If you and I want to make a difference in the marketplace, we got to be the kind of people that lift people. When we lift people up, then we're going to have influence. And then we're going to slowly be able to share the gospel in their life. You know, three things that we got to do. I'm going to finish it up. I know you're ready to go. You need to go eat. Three things to lift people up. Believe in others before they believe in you. Believe in others before they believe in you. Guys, there's people out there desperate for someone to think that they're valuable. When you believe that, when you do this, folks are going to migrate to you. Secondly, serve others before they serve you. Jesus was a great example of this. He served people all the time. He said, I came to serve, not to be served. The world tells us we're successful when we're served. It's a lie. Third thing, last thing, add value to others before they add value to you. Add value to others before they add value to you. Those are the three ways to lift people up. Do you know how to tell if somebody needs encouraging? Does anybody know how to tell? They're breathing. Everybody needs encouraging. I was faking it pretty good this morning. Little boy I baptized, I carried him back here. I was having a tough morning. My son, like I said, my son left for a week. I'm going to miss him. He's gone to leadership camp and other things going on. Just the enemy attacks me on Sunday morning sometimes. And I was feeling like, just feelings lie. I've told y'all that before. But I still go through it. I was showing a little boy where he's going to be changed. But I was upbeat. I was feeling pretty good. little boy turned around and said, Mr. Jim. I said, what? Five words. He said, you are a great preacher. Oh, man. I was the man after that. Shoot, I had some pep in my step. Encouraging words. Who needs encouragement? Everybody. Everybody. So how do you tell if someone needs encouraging? They're breathing. They're breathing. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, Lord, we are the church. We are your church. Lord, I pray that we leave here today and we share the gospel with our actions, with our words. I pray that we tip the waitresses lots of money. That we're encouragers. We're lifters and we ain't leaners. And happy Father's Day to you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.